This gospel passage follows directly upon that, those few verses where Peter asks Jesus, how many times must I forgive my brother? Seven times, and Jesus says, no, 70 times, seven times. In other words, infinitely. And so Peter and the other disciples feel kind of inadequate for such a task. We all would. And so they say, Lord, increase our faith. And he says to them, you want more faith? What you don't know is you already have it. You're just not in touch with it. Everyone, I think, feels inadequate before the task of being baptized into Christ, into that holiness. Moses said, Lord, you don't want me. I can't speak very well. He had a kind of a stutter. And the Lord says, well, your brother Aaron can do the talking, but I want you to lead my people out of Egypt. And several of the prophets said, oh, Lord, I'm too young. I'm too ignorant. I can't do this. I can't do that. And the Lord is always saying to them, no, you have it within you. Just trust me. And so that's what Jesus is saying to the disciples in that gospel. You already have faith as small as a mustard seed, and maybe even more than that. You just need to access it. And then that strange thing he says after that, what one of you, if you had a slave who had been out in the field all day and comes in, and would you put on your apron and wait on him? No, you would make him wait on you, and then he could eat, because that's the way it works in the world. And Jesus says, it's that way with you and God. God is the master. You are the servant. And after you've done good works, after you've lived a holy life, this is not a bargaining chip that you present to God for salvation. Salvation is a gift, and it's already given. It's been given to us on the cross. So we're acting out of response to that goodness of God, not to get God's goodness or grace. And so after living a holy life, we just say, Lord, we're useless servants. We've only done what was required. There's a story told about some construction workers who were remodeling a Carthusian monastery. Now, Carthusians are a branch of the Benedictine order, and they're kind of like Trappists. They don't talk, and they're very severely cloistered. And they chant the Liturgy of the Hours daily. It's a life of prayer and solitude. So they're digging in the ground for some foundation work on this building, and they come across an ancient grave of one of the monks. And when they exhume the body, they find out that it's the body of this monk is incorrupt. It's just as fresh as the day he was buried. And so they're awestruck by this. They don't know what to do, so they call another Carthusian monastery, and they say, what do we do? And the answer comes back, bury him again. And they say, no, he's incorrupt. He must have been a very holy man. And the answer comes back, all Carthusians are holy. That's our calling. Bury him again. Well, this is us, you know. We're called to holiness. Everybody, not just Carthusians, and not just priests and nuns, but everybody who is baptized into Christ Jesus is baptized into his holiness. We have a share in his life. So we have two young children going to be baptized today. And, you know, if we would ask them, they'd probably say, I'm too young. I can't live up to this promise. I can't make these baptismal promises. But God would say to them, your parents and your godparents will take care of that for now, and you'll grow into it. Just trust and know that you have the Holy Spirit within you. It's just like Paul says to Peter, Timothy in that second reading. Timothy was younger than a lot of his parishioners. He was put in charge of this church Paul had founded, and not everybody trusted him because he was so young. And so he kind of complains to Paul, what do I do? And Paul says, don't worry, you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have been baptized into Christ. So just use what's already there. When Jesus and his disciples were out on that hillside with a crowd of 5,000 some people, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, what do we do? Let's send these people away to the villages and to buy food for themselves, because this is a deserted place and we don't have enough for them. And Jesus says, why don't you feed them yourselves? And they're taken aback by that. And they say, all we have is 5 loaves and a couple of fish. What good is that for all these people? And Jesus says, just trust me. And he multiplies those into everything they need with 12 baskets left over. God's bounty knows no limits. God's grace and God's love for us knows no limits. And when we are up against it, like Habakkuk was, you know, violence and injustice and all kinds of uproar around us, and we feel overwhelmed and like, how are we ever going to get out of this? And does God even hear our plea? Does God even care? And God's answer to Habakkuk is, I'm right here. I've never been away. What are you talking about? I'm right here. And you need to trust that I'm going to work this out. What seems impossible to you is not impossible for God. Nothing is impossible for God. And so God, even if we have to be patient at times, is eventually going to give us what we need to survive.